Welcome back to another episode of Points for Jesus. As always, I'm Kate. Today's special because I have a special person with me. I have literally one of my favorite people, Miss Amy. My high friend to every phone call I answer. My rock for what? How long have we been friends? Over a year and a half.
Yeah, probably a year and a half.
Yeah, for a long time now.
It's like forever though.
Yeah, I love our friendship because I feel like we have the friendship where it's like for a while. We just talked about this. We're like we often can go like I don't know if we went a while like a few weeks without talking to each other. And it's like as if nothing, no pun, time had passed.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for you. How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here. This is so fun.
I know.
I love that you have started this and that's something that is important to you, that you believe in, and you're making it happen, and that is so amazing. And I'm just so proud of you. And
oh,
this is awesome.
Stop. It's so fun. It's literally the best ever. I'm pretty sure it's like often how I introduce myself. Though with you, that is not how I introduced myself.
No.
I introduced myself by, well, we had common ground because we're both dairy free.
Yeah. You just told the whole world that.
That's fine. I have no shame. Keeps me skinny. That was our common ground.
Yeah, that was.
And then I feel as if we quickly both learned that we have a big heart for Jesus.
Yeah. And we bought it. That was like the first thing. I was like, oh my gosh. Because I thought you were married
when I first met
you. I thought you were married. And I thought you were going to stop by my apartment and then you were going to leave. And then I was like, oh, she's still here. I should talk to her. And then I talked to her, and then you weren't married. And I was like, we should be friends. And then I stole you from...
Yeah, you literally stole me from my friend.
Yeah.
Who brought me.
Yeah.
It was meant to be. I will never forget, like, that joke. Like, remember, like, the two people walking away, and there's, like, the one person who looks back.
Uh-huh.
And is, like, sees, like, the two people together. Yeah. I don't know. That's, like, some meme. I just can't even remember it. But I just remember that much. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
We just, like, walked away. Yeah. And I think, within, like, the next week, like, we were making dairy-free mac and cheese.
Yeah,
and then
so good.
Before I knew it, you were at my birthday party.
Yeah.
I literally invited you to my birthday.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm never getting rid of this girl. But in the best way possible.
Yeah. And he's fine. He's married.
Yeah, he's literally fine.
He's okay.
Yeah. Because it was about us and our friendship.
It's true.
God knew. I would need you.
Yeah. God knew.
We had no idea what was ahead of us.
Yeah.
That's, like, so fun. It's so fun to think about. Like, I don't know. I feel like I've known you forever.
Yeah.
But I actually haven't. College is wild like that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready for this? Oh, it's just like, I feel like I've talked about this so much. We've tried.
This is like
three times.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad it's finally happening.
Here we are. Amy, what do you do to be Christ-like every day?
Since you told me that question, I've been really, really thinking about that. And listening to your other podcasts and knowing that that's a question that you asked, I've been pondering that a lot. But that is, like, such a humbling question of realizing, like, what do I do every day to be intentional about being Christ-like? Because you can live your whole day and not choose to live that covenant that you made at baptism. And not be intentional, and I think that is so important to remember to be intentional about that. And so as I've been thinking about that, I thought a lot about, like growing up. I have the most wonderful and amazing parents, and the older I get, the more I realize how grateful I am for the things that they taught me and the example, that they are in my life. And one of the things they taught me is to love the scriptures. I remember when I was like 10 or 11, we moved to my grandparents' house because we were moving out to a new town in Colorado. And that summer is the first time I remember really studying my scriptures. It's my mom encouraged us to start every day by studying the scriptures. And I was 11 and I didn't know how to understand and I was doing it. I think she had put some sort of like if you do this then we'll get to go to the library.
Oh, so there was like an incentive.
Some sort of incentive. Yeah. I feel like. And I wanted to make her happy and And so I started the habit of scripture study, daily scripture study, and all through high school, I was really good about it, and it was something that, something I was actually really good about. I don't think I really understood the scriptures, and I didn't think I thought I knew how to study the scriptures, but looking back, I realized that I was really good at reading the scriptures, and I didn't get much from it, but that was something that was a habit that was really, really easy for me. And then I came to college, and kind of, I didn't realize habits like that could change, because it's something that I have struggled with since being in college, is daily scripture study, is something that's been really hard for me, which is so interesting, because it didn't used to be hard for me. That, I think, would be the answer to your question of how I strive every day to be Christ-like, is through my personal gospel study. I have had so many experiences, time and time again, that my daily scripture study and that time that I spend with just me and the Spirit and learning about my Savior and the Atonement is the most crucial thing for my testimony and for my connection with Heavenly Father. And it is so cool, because not only am I studying and gaining things from the things that I learn every day, but it's an opportunity to invite the Spirit in my life. And so I benefit from what I'm learning, but I also benefit from the time that I spend, the sacrifice that I give to learn and to study more about my Savior, but also just that invitation of the Spirit in my day and in my life, that is so incredibly crucial to me in my life. And it's so interesting as I've learned that, and that's made aware of, like, wow, my day goes so much better when I study and when I have the Spirit with me than when I don't. And that scripture study enables me to be a Christ-like person, is that I study and I learn different attributes of the Savior that I want to apply, and I use that time to set goals and to plan for my week, and I use that time to journal and try to better myself, but ultimately, like, it enables me to become a Christ-like person, is it gives me, like, the motivation, it gives me the desire, it gives me the I don't know, does that make sense?
100%, yeah.
When this last summer, the last two summers, I was an FSY counselor, and you know what it's like to be an FSY counselor. You have no time.
Yeah. Like it's emotionally, mentally, physically, yes. So draining. But so spiritually, draining. I am on fire.
Yes, it's amazing. But you have no time to study, because if you have a break, you probably are taking a nap because you didn't sleep all the night before.
Yeah. You're dead.
And so that was really tricky for me, because I realized that I needed to spend time studying the scriptures, because I needed to have that Spirit with me. I needed to have, I needed to know what I was teaching, right? You can't teach something you don't know. You can't teach something not passionate about or that you don't have a testimony about. And so that was really tricky, but that, I think, was when I first learned of how important scripture study was in my life, is I would choose to sleep in the morning. I mean, sleep until 6:20 instead of doing my scripture study.
Because 5 minutes of that sleep felt so worth
it. Oh my gosh, yes, it's, yeah, it's crazy. FSY is insane. But I just learned that, like, you just have to sacrifice, because I don't know, that's just me personally, is I have to make those sacrifices to start my day out with a good scripture study, because then I was a better FSY counselor, I'm a better seminary teacher, I'm a better friend, I'm a better roommate, I'm just a better person when I give that time to God first. So
I love that. Amy, I know I say this so often, but I want to emphasize, like, when I, just from, like, the first time, like, I even met you and seen how, like, our relationship has grown, like, you were genuinely one of the most, like, right, like, I look at you and I go, like, she has that Jesus glow. Mm. Like, you have the Jesus glow. It radiates off of you. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus is not one of the most important people in your life. Because you literally make the time for it. Like, Jesus already made the ultimate sacrifice. And so your little sacrifices is like, that's like the least you could do.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows. But that's the thing is, it shows. Like, you literally, like, it literally just shows, like, that you do that. I mean, I think of, like, you saying, like, how often you like, your dedication to the scriptures, and I see this. I've literally see you dedicate your time. Like, I know you're not making it up. And you're like, no, I strive. No, you do.
Thank you.
You do it. Like, and it's, like, it's amazing to me. And, like, I've been so blessed, like, just to be in your apartment and, like, study with you or watch you study. And I...
Holly, we've had some good studies.
We've had some great studies.
We've had some really and, good studies.
Oh, like, it amazes me how well you know what you know.
Thank you. That means a lot. Because I think that's something that is an insecurity in my testimony is my scripture study. I think it's really interesting, and I think the adversary knows how important it is in my testimony and my relationship with Heavenly Father and my Savior, that I have a study every day. And so that is something that I think I am the worst about, is my scripture study, is Satan always finds a way for me to not want to do it, or to put something else in. Like, it's just so interesting how, like, something as important as it is, I think opposition in all things, right?
Oh, it's so real.
Like, something that is so good and so necessary for me, that is also fought so much. By myself and by the adversary.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I'm sure Satan is, like, I mean, I see this in my own life, but it literally convinces that you're just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
It's not true at all. And you keep a notebook of what you learn, correct?
I do.
Okay, I was like, I'm pretty sure I see you, like, literally jotting down those notes.
And yeah.
Like, I mean, your scriptures are beautiful. Too. They're beautiful. I remember when you asked me, like, Holly, what do you do? I'm just trying to, like, you just are just so anxious to learn more. And it's so good, because one time, and I hope it's okay to share this, and I remember it was spring break, and, oh my gosh, so much was going on at spring break. Life was heavy for me at that time, and coming to you was like a breath of fresh air. Like, I just needed that testimony that you hold, that goodness and that light. I needed my Amy. And I think I often use that phrase. I go, I need my Amy. And I remember it was Holy Week. And so we were studying Holy Week together. And, oh my gosh, that was just, like, such a great week for so many reasons. I can look back and God was... His details were everywhere.
That was such a fire study.
Such a great study. And just, I remember specifically, I think it was like the first night, maybe first or second night, because I spent the night for like a good chunk of time with you. And we were studying, and we just had this conversation, and we were talking about, like, more specifically, you were talking about Jesus Christ. And because you were talking about how he folded the linens.
Yes.
And that has forever stood with me. And I think it just goes to show, like, you dedicate so much time. Like, you don't just read it. No, you understand it. You know the story. You don't just read the words on the page. You can retell the story.
That is actually the biggest compliment ever, because, like I said, I feel like I've never... I'm insecure about that, because I don't feel like I know the scriptures. I don't feel like I know the gospel like a lot of people do. And that's hard to feel that way when I'm literally, my career is to teach seminary.
Yeah.
And, well, hopefully it'll be my career.
God's got us back. He knows.
but so that is like the biggest compliment ever, because since I have started teaching, like, that has changed the way that I've studied. I have a sticky note up on my wall is, like, study with the intent to share. Because I've noticed when I study for myself, I get a lot of good things out of it, but when I study with the intent to share it, it just, and your psychology, you probably know how this works, but it goes in my brain differently. And
oh yeah,
I remember it better when I decide that I want to share it. And so as I've started teaching seminary and realized, like, wow, like, this is so cool. Like, I love this. Okay, let me remember all the details so I can tell my students. Let me remember, like, what's going on and, like, put it in modern terms. And I don't know. I love the scriptures.
Because they're real.
They're so real.
It's not just, I mean, I use the word story, but, like, it's not just some story. Like, this is real. And it's as real as our lives are right now. Yeah. It's real.
Yeah.
And if it's okay, like, I'd love to share, like, I don't know, like, what we talked about that night.
Yeah.
I think about it often. Like, often I do think about this conversation we had. Again, for, like, a number of reasons, but I remember just, like, we're sitting there, I'm sitting on, like, it's not my bed, but I'm gonna claim it as my bed.
I mean, you're the only one that ever sleeps in it.
So. Exactly. So it's pretty much mine. And then you're in your bed, and we're, like, sitting there, we've got our scriptures out, and, like, notes are being taken, and you're just, like, the way you say it, you're just, like, Holly, listen to this. And you ask me, and I love, one of my favorite things, again, about you, is, like, when you, like, are just so excited about something, you're so good at asking questions. Like, you just won't be like, I know everything, like, this is what I learned. You'll be like, but what do you think? You're so good at that. But you were just like, listen to this. And you were talking about Jesus Christ, like, he had, you know, we know he's been resurrected and he's not there, but all of a sudden they see that his little linens are folded all nicely, all neat, and you just were so intrigued by that.
So cool.
You were so intrigued by that, and you were just like, but Holly, like let's, like, talk about more. And it led into us talking about how important it is to make your bed.
Yeah.
Or that's what it led to, which I actually is one of my favorite things. You were like, and I was like, yeah, I mean, that's something I do, like, every day. I remember, like, that's, like, shout out to my mama here, but, like, making my bed is just so important to me. And I know, I have always known it's important to make your bed. And I have this memory growing up to both my parents. Their bed was always made. And I remember even helping them make it. Like, the bed was just always made, and there wasn't anything special on it. Like, I remember, I mean, I feel like my mom's gonna listen to this and, like, call me out, but this is what I remember. I remember there being, like, red sheets and, like, the black comforter, and, like, they both had two pillows, and, like, that's just, like, what I remember. And my mom had this, like, stuffed animal too. I don't remember what it was, but I just, like, remember this. And, like, it was, like, it went behind the pillow. Like, I just knew that, and it just, that's what I remember. And then I had my bed. I had an order to things. It needed to look neat. And then as I've gotten older, it grew more of, like, a significance to me. And I make my bed. It's, like, the first thing I do. And it's kind of fun being a psych major, because you learn, like, the importance of making your bed, because it's the first task you accomplish. Mm-hmm. The first task you accomplish every morning. And so I do. I make my bed. I wake up and I make my bed. And it's, you, they're like, well, Holly, Jesus Christ, right, he's resurrected. He came and he made his bed. He folded up the linens.
Yeah. I, like, so anybody who's lived with me as a roommate or my parents or my family knows that sometimes that's hard for me to make my bed, and that's ridiculous because it takes 2 minutes. I've gotten way, way good at it, though.
Holly.
And so, as we, I just loved our studies for Holly Week because, for Holy Week. And I was studying when the apostles came to find the empty tomb in John 20. And John 20, verse 6, it says, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And I would, like, I stopped, and I was just like, whoa, that is so cool. And I've read that verse so many times, but, I want to see if I can pull up my journal, from that day when I journaled about it.
I know, I'm literally doing the same thing. What was that? This was, the week of April 17th, like, yeah, sometime in there. I want to say it was, like, day one or two, day two. I literally, like, went back to, like, pull it up because I know we talked about it. And it was just so, like,
oh, here it is.
It made such an impact. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, I'm going to read this. So this is totally vulnerable that I'm totally reading my journal on the podcast. It says, right now I'm following along with the study guide put out for Holy Week, and it has been so good so far. I decided to start with watching the videos from, like, the 2025 Easter videos. In the one with Dallin H. Oaks, they show a video portrayal of the whole Easter experience. One of the things that really caught my attention was how Jesus left the tomb. The linens were clean and folded on the bed. That struck me deep to my core. Jesus made his bed. I can make my bed too. I can just imagine him standing there folding his linens, arranging them nice. He could have left them in a piled bunch like we do after we check out of a hotel room. After all, the linens were used and dirty, yet he folded them. But were the linens weren't dirty, though. That's they weren't the dirty. Thing is, they weren't dirty. It says, I wonder if it spoke peace to Mary and Simon Peter, knowing that if someone had taken him, they wouldn't have folded his sheets. Like, when they came to the tomb, and they're terrified, like, I can't even imagine how that would feel for them.
Oh, it's the heart. Your heart is dropping.
They're Jesus.
My Jesus is gone.
Yeah. And to come and be like, wait, hold on, the sheets are folded. Yeah. Like, I wonder how, if that spoke peace to them. I mean, it was written in the scriptures.
True.
And it says, what difference did it make that he made his bed? And how does it show the character of Christ? And it just made me reflect on, like, my own day of, like, what order do I put in my life? Like, what, do I make my bed? Like, Jesus made his bed, and he didn't even mm-hmm. have to. Like, you think about, you go into a hotel room, and that's normal. Like, you put, like, that's respectful to put the...
Yeah.
The dirty stuff on the ground. And if they had gone to the tomb, like, they wouldn't have had a second thought about the linens on the ground. But he had folded them nicely.
They were perfect.
And they were perfect. And I don't know, that was a cool study. I really loved that.
It was, and it really stood out to me. And
yeah. And it's changed the way that I mean, I'm not as good at keeping my room clean as
you literally can see mine.
But I make my bed every day, and mm-hmm. that's really changed of, like, wow, even Jesus made his bed. And he didn't even have a pillow. Like, it was just some rags.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
And it just really makes me think, we once talked about this, and often I was so inspired, like, this statement that came to mind, because of you. And it really was, like, you know, when we think about being Christ-like, sometimes I don't even think about it. It just is. Like, yeah. I don't know how to live any way else. Like, it is Jesus. Like, I can't even comprehend not, because that is the only way for me. And that's how I mean, you're the one who's inspired me, because you just... That's just who you are. You are a Jesus person.
That means a lot to me. Thank you for saying that. And I agree. I think that's why like scripture study for me is so important, is because it sets me in the right way and in the right mindset. And it's a sacrifice to study your scriptures you have a job and you're in school, and to take time to do something that doesn't have like an immediate, like, you're not getting paid for it. You're not getting mm-hmm. a grade for it, right? And so that can be tricky, but because I try to live my life in that way, it allows me to, like, it makes me want to set goals, it makes me want to be better, and it just gives me the capacity to be the person that I want to be and be the person that, like, God wants me to be.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know if that's kind of a cop-out answer to how you, it's, but I don't know, I have found so much value in my scripture study, and it's just so interesting that that's, like, also one of the things that is the hardest for me is my scripture study, even though I know how valuable it is.
Well, that's exactly why.
It's just kind of a constant, like, yes, I gotta do this, yes, I gotta do this. This is not, yeah, anyways.
The desire is, even, like, I don't want to just check the box. Mm-hmm. I don't want to check the box at the end of the day, let alone the end of my life, being like, oh, did I do what Jesus did? Did I do the mm-hmm. things? I don't want to just check the box. I don't want that. Like, I strive. Like, I have such a desire. Like, I want to be just like him. Mm-hmm. I want him to fill every void that I am so desperate to be filled. I want him to be my answer to everything, because Jesus is my everything. Mm-hmm. Like, my Jesus is everything.
Mm-hmm.
In my scriptures, once we're talking about scriptures, I have this question that I ask myself before I start, And it says, if someone asked me why I believe in Christ, what would I say? Like, why? Like, why is it so worth it to us? To let alone be asking, like, why do I even want to be like him? And it makes me stop and think, like, why is picking up, you know, my scripture so important to me? Why is it so important to me to reach out to that friend that entered my mind? Why do I even bother rephrasing how I said something and apologizing to make sure that that person feels loved? Why is that so important to me?
I kind of had a similar question, like, in my head, especially as I work with a lot of youth who have questions, it kind of makes me stop and think, like, oh my gosh, like, do I actually believe this? And I've had a lot of experiences recently where I've stopped and be like, okay, why do I believe this? Like, why do I believe that the prophet is called of God? Like, how can I trust what he says? And that, just as an example of things that I've been thinking, of just like, why? And I don't know, I've always felt and known that the church was true, and I'm grateful for my parents and for their testimonies in that. And I don't know how to phrase this. I want this to come out right. But people have asked me, why do you believe in the church? Why do you believe in the gospel? And I do, because I've seen the fruits, right? I know how I feel when I pray. I know how I feel when I study the gospel. I know how I feel when I attend the temple, and I can trust that feeling. But also, like, the thought in my head is like, okay, say that none of this is true. Say that the Book of Mormon isn't true. Say that the temple is a place where you can go and feel happy, but that it's not anything special. Say that none of this is true at all. I don't think that would change how I live, because it gives me so much happiness. That in a world where this was not true or not accurate at all, I don't care, because it gives me so much peace and happiness that this is where I want to be anyways. And so, good thing we do know it is true, because then it has meaning behind it. But, like, even if we die and there's nothing, like, I would have no regrets about how I have chosen to live my life, because of the peace and the happiness that it brings me. Like, it's not just like a happy moment. It's a happy life. You know, it's a happy, even when you're sad, even when it's hard, I can still feel so much happiness and so much joy. And so, thank goodness, it's not just a thing that makes me happy, but it's actually real, it's actually true. And I know that, and I know it's real and true. I've thought a lot about, like, okay, what if it's not? Then it's not, and I'm still living it, and I still love it. And I don't know if that makes any sense, or if that's confusing.
It does make sense. I would agree. It's, I know what fills my cup. I know, and I'm not going to focus on the things that don't.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked a lot about this. Wow, this is making me emotional. Like, I'm coming to learn, like, I know my worth. Like, that was the goal that I remember I set at the beginning of the year. And I said, I want to come to know my worth. And all that worth, all of it comes from him. And, like, he is my happiness. And everything that, because of him, we have amazing people. Like, I have a church I get to go to every Sunday. People is, like, who get to teach me real living truths. We have a prophet. And the list keeps going. Like, I can keep naming. But it all goes back to him.
Yeah, it all does.
It all does. And it we're filled. And it's like, we can have this everlasting joy to know, like, just how worth it this is right now. This is so real. Like, we're writing our stories just like the ones we read about.
Holly, it reminds me of our conversation that we had. I think it was probably around the time when we were studying Holy Week. But you had said, and this has forever changed the way I think, but you said, you ask somebody how they're doing, and they say, oh, I'm good, and it's like, okay, it's whatever, like, oh, good, but you're like that, like, the world has lost the meaning of good, the world has lost the meaning of good, and maybe you've already talked about that on here.
I actually don't think I have.
Like, you go to the temple, and you read in, is it Moses? No, Genesis.
Literally Genesis.
Genesis, yeah, Genesis, and good, the word good is what Heavenly Father used to describe the earth.
Yeah.
And you, like, oh my gosh, is the world beautiful and amazing and breathtaking, and good is how he used, like, good is what he used to describe you and me, and, like, Adam and Eve, the first people on the earth, he used good to describe them, that, like, clearly good has got to mean something more than just good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that God is good.
God is my favorite
way to describe God, is that he is so good. And you look around the world and at the beautiful things, and it is so good. And I look at my friend Holly, and she is so good. And I see the things you do, and you are so good. And that is, I wish people would use that word a little differently, because it means so much more than just, oh, good, you know, it's good.
If you really understand how good mm-hmm. good is,
mm-hmm.
then we would stop using it the way we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do remember sharing that with you, because I was so passionate, like, my God is so good.
God is
so we have good. Such a good God.
Yeah.
And there is just an amazing power that comes with understanding what it really meant mm-hmm. and how he used it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, like, I will never use it the way that I want, let others use it, the world yeah. uses it. I will only use it the way he did.
I just remember I had this, like, clear thought in my brain, like long before I met you, like, why do people say that God is good? Like, yeah, he's good, but, like, he is so much more than just good. Like, he is, like, why would you use that word to describe God?
Yeah.
And since we've had that conversation, I was like, that is the word to describe God. Like, he is so good.
It's true. And every time, I love it, because, like, when we talk, we, like, like, I don't know, like, I feel like some of our FaceTime calls or just, like, in person, I'll be like, Amy, like, it was so good, and we look at each other, because you know what I meant mm-hmm. by that. I go, God is so good,
yeah.
And you can, like, do you ever feel it, like, the power, like, it's just, like, oh, like, the shivers of, like, good.
Good, yeah.
So
yeah.
good.
So, I love that. That was, like, one of the coolest moments, I feel like, we've
thanks
had.
For sh- yeah, thanks for sharing that again. I really loved that, yeah. And it's just proof. It just, there's, this is all so good.
It's so good.
I say, for listeners, I mean, Amy, what'd be, like, the one takeaway, one action, like, we could give them, like, you could give them, of what now?
I think back to, I love the scriptures, and I feel like I've always had a love for the scriptures. But I remember people would go up and be like, I love the Book of Mormon. I love the New Testament. I love, like, all the standard works. I just love them. And I'm like, that's cool. I mean, I guess I love them, but I've never, like, felt that burn.
Mm-hmm.
And since I started teaching seminary and really studying it, and I have only come to love and feel that deep passion for the scriptures because I've realized how applicable it is to our lives. And you read it, and it's hard because we don't speak like the scriptures anymore. But one of my favorite things to do with my students is to take a scripture, to take a story, and kind of book club it as we talk Yeah, we talk about, okay, like, imagine what Moses would have felt like when this happened. Or, like, can you imagine Captain Moroni putting that on a torn piece of material?
That's good.
And like what would that have felt like? And just making the scriptures come to life is how I have truly felt felt like studying the scriptures has not become a checkbox.
Yeah.
Is when they come to life and when they're so applicable, because they're real people, they're real mm-hmm. stories, and sometimes it's hard to feel that they are because the writing is different than what we're used to, but mm-hmm. I just encourage people to really get, like, know the scriptures and feel how they are so applicable and think about the stories and put yourself in the position of these people in the scriptures. And also something that I've learned recently is scripture study doesn't have to look like Alma all the way through, or sorry, First Nephi all the way through. It can be, okay, I'm going to start reading in 35. I'm going to study this topic today. So I'm going to really dive into the scriptures and study this topic. Or I don't really know who Tiankum was, so I'm going to go study who Tiankum was. Tiankum is a bomb. He's so cool. I love Tiankum. He's such a G, like, that man.
Okay, I love this idea of just, like,
meet him.
Like, slow down.
Yes,
yeah, let down. Go. Like, yes. Stop. It's almost like it's like we make it complicated. Yeah. We make it hard. And, yeah. Like, let go of control.
Yeah, and learn how to make the scriptures fun, because I never knew that the scriptures could be fun, and the scriptures are so cool. I just wish people could understand that, like, the gospel is fun. The gospel, like, it's a church of joy, and the scriptures are so fun. The scriptures are so cool, and the little ties you can find.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I love marking my scriptures and adding notes to them. And then as I'm reading a story again, seeing all the notes. So find a way to make the scriptures so fun and so exciting in your
yours.
Life.
It's yours, yeah. To learn and to apply and, well, bear with me here, but to make so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can find the goodness from them. Yeah. Just, I mean, like, open up to a random page and just dive in. I think I did that the other day. I literally looked up, like, what it means to be leveled to the ground. So I was like, what in the world?
What does that mean?
You know, and it's just, and now all of a sudden I'll never forget. Yeah. Like, took the time to make it, yeah. So
you read it, and you
so drill, good.
And it's all cute.
I love this.
Yeah, it's so fun. I love the scriptures, and I wish people could love the scriptures more, because I don't know, I have a constant movie, like, when I read it, it's just, like, kind of, like, a movie in my head of, like, wow, that's so cool, and, like, the war chapters are so cool, and I just love the scriptures, and I've said that so many times, but I'm grateful that I have learned to love them, and learned to, just be so excited that, I went on a date the other day, and this is ridiculous, but he asked me, like, okay, what do you like to do? And I can't believe these words came out of my mouth. And I was like, I just love studying the gospel. And it's so true, and I should not be embarrassed about that. But it's so true. I just love studying the gospel. I think it's so fun.
You're amazing at it. You should be proud. I know God's proud of you.
It's taken time to learn that, and I'm still learning how to study and how to love the gospel.
But, well, that's the best part.
Yeah, I want people to learn. So I guess my invitation would be, like, find ways to make the scriptures come to life. And if that's through changing to paper scriptures, that's what I had to do, is I had to switch to reading to paper scriptures. Find ways to make them come to life, and find, yeah, cute pens to mark them up in, and cute sticky notes. And
for the girly girls. Yeah.
I don't know. Just let them come to life, because it will change your life. So, yeah.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Like, really, I admire you so much, Amy. You're so dear to me. You are so, so dear to me. And there are so many things that I hope to strive to be like, what you do apply in your life. So thank you. Thanks for taking the time to just share your Jesus glow with me.
Thank you,
more.
Holly. I feel the same way about you. I think that's why we're so good friends.
Holy. God knew. I said this earlier today again, but God knew I needed you.
Yeah.
Because he's so good.
Thanks for having me. This has been so fun.
It has been. Thanks for everyone who listened. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Thanks for everyone who listened tonight. Please take the time to make the scripture so real. Like, this is somebody's story that is somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And make it just as real as you're trying to make yours.
Yeah. If you think about it, you're reading their diary.
It's true.
Like, ooh.
Like, ooh. I love that. This is so great. Well, until next week.
Yeah, until next week.
Yay.